Hello and welcome again to the Anything But Quiet Time podcast. We're Rochelle and Carter.
Yes, welcome.
We do this weekly talking about our quiet times or spiritual conversations. I have a youth group encounter that I'm going to get to here in a little bit.
An encounter? It sounds like you went on a safari.
That's what it's like every week when you volunteer in students at your church. Yes, yes,
but
indeed.
But stay in the vehicles. Keep your arms and your
yes.
legs in vehicles.
Oh, yes. Keep your arms and legs inside the vehicle at all times.
We're not responsible for whatever the teenagers do.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I got a funny story there, too. But alas, here we are. If you're new to this podcast, Rochelle wears cheesy Christian T-shirts.
Yes, I do, because it's a responsibility that I've taken up. It's actually a burden that I don't feel is burdensome. I feel like it's light and easy.
You're the hero we didn't know we deserved.
That you needed.
That we needed. We don't deserve.
That's right.
But we, yeah.
So, this is part of your grace package right here.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. I thought it was a bass clef on your shirt.
No.
But it is a
Here, let me move my mic a little.
It's either a smiley face or a frowny face.
It's your choice.
And
you
it says you decide on
you
it.
You are the one who can only decide.
Yeah.
And this is something, speaking of teenagers, I have two teenagers, and I remember those days of being a teenager, and you're a ball of hormones, and you're just trying to figure it out, right? And you're going through class, and you're dealing with algebra and acne, and you're also trying to just, you're starting to become your own person, right? And that can be a struggle when you're also wanting to be respectful with your parents. Because you may not feel the exact same way. So when they tell you to obey and you're feeling like maybe there's a better way than to do it this way.
I was going to say the exact same way or the opposite. That's how teenagers typically feel, is the opposite of what parents say.
Or they don't hear you ask them to do it.
Oh, what? What'd you
say? But I was having a conversation with my youngest the other day and just telling him, baby, with all of this stuff that you have to choose, I want to let you know, I get it. I do remember those days. I'm not that ancient. It's not easy what you're going through. But as a parent, your job is still to keep him on track.
Yeah.
And so my dad would drive me bananas with the saying, you need to have an attitude of gratitude.
I've heard that one. Yeah.
Which I think he loved because it rhymed. Which was the exact reason why I hated it.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
But now I get it, Dad. I get it.
And now you've been led back to this, shirt, this purchase.
Now I just want to embarrass my children with these T-shirts that I wear.
And you're
just a bonus.
And me, right. You have sucked the fun out of this because I was going to give you a hard time of being, it's technically not a Christian T-shirt.
Technically, no, but.
But then you said all that good stuff.
It's truth.
Yeah.
No matter where if you're an atheist and you realize I can choose today what I'm going to do on the outside, no matter my circumstances.
Then you've discovered something true,
that's
right?
That's something true.
So, but it felt like when I looked at it, just the shirt itself, it felt like one of those, shoot for the moon, because even if you missed, you'll be among the stars. Yeah. So it felt like one of those.
I'll tell you, in regards to what is true, though, the choice being ours as a Jesus follower, we had this conversation last week about sinning. And well, now that I'm a new person, I'm a new creation, the Holy Spirit is in me so that I do not have to sin anymore. And the question that was brought up, shouldn't we
never sin then?
Exactly. And so I think we had a really good conversation about that. If you haven't watched that podcast, you go back and listen to it. But I do believe we do need to step into decisions, step into choice making, so that we are promised trials and tribulation by Jesus himself, but we are given through Jesus, the Holy Spirit, giving us access to stuff that we are gonna need in the midst of all of that so we can handle the circumstances, not like a person without Jesus would handle them. And if I haven't grabbed hold of peace instead of panic, then I've made a decision to grab hold of panic.
So you walked, drove into a situation that required that from you. It seemed like the other side also chose that in some way. I don't know their faith background, but it was you and your teenager, speaking of which.
He's behind the wheel.
And just a permit right now, right?
And yes, and that was an insurance decision on our part. He is actually a very good driver. And it was one of those things. I think we've all experienced the teenager accident. And when I say that, I've never been on the other side of that, being the mom of the teenager. But I remember I was 18 years old when I had my first car accident. And it shook me to my core.
Yeah.
Learned some things that day. Learned to brake a lot earlier, you know?
Yep.
You got to learn. And I, as I've said before, don't want to rob my children of their experience, because you look back and you're like, if I could just take that away from him. But there's value in what took place. Mm-hmm. And praise God, nobody was hurt. But we did have an accident. And it was one of those where it was a brand new car, not ours. Her car, a 2024, almost like it was just driven off the lot, just beautiful. And we've now done damage to the vehicle.
And it was your son's fault, right?
It was his fault.
Okay.
And we completely, we said, honey, what happened? We understand what happened. We're grateful nobody was hurt. And the way that the accident took place, it could have happened to anybody. It's just his. Yeah. That's why it's called an accident. Which was the exact thing that the people whose car we hit went and told my kid.
That it's just an accident.
So they, each of them, so there was a wife. She was the one driving the car. Her name was Tammy. She was lovely. Immediately, just, she obviously was very upset about her car, but just wanted to make sure that he was okay, my son was okay. Mm. Goes over to the window where he's sitting, and he's just shaking. You know, he's, honey, accidents happen. Nobody was hurt. It's okay.
Yeah.
And then her husband gets to the scene before mine did. And I could tell there's that look on his face like, what am I walking into here? He doesn't know if I'm irate or, you know, he doesn't know.
Yeah.
And I took his hand in two of mine and I said, I just want to tell you, my name is Rochelle. I am so grateful for the way that your precious wife has been treating my child. And he, Omar, goes over to the window and does the same thing to Sammy, calms him. You don't have to be worried about this. Everybody, this happens to everybody. It was just calming and reassuring. Yeah. We had such a good time chatting. Like, we've become friends.
You've been texting.
We've been texting back and forth. Like, we, of course, had to exchange insurance information, but she texts me like 3 hours after the accident. How is he?
That's amazing. Yeah.
We've been going back and forth. I was able to pray with her. My son has autism. She has a nephew she's been really determined to get custody of, who's dealing with autism. And I told her, I said, I'm going to be praying for you, continuing to pray for you guys. And she texted, she's like, what's your son's name again? She's like, he's on my Christmas list. What's his name again?
I'm like, Christmas list?
Where is this going? I don't know. But God, let's just put it there. But God.
Yeah.
We were able to exchange pleasantries in a very ugly set of circumstances.
Well, that's where we've talked about before, where pride can come in.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, when do you get mad? And it should be for the things that are unjust, right? You know, we get mad about human trafficking or something, and that's a kind of a righteous anger. But when it comes to this, you know, even a new car, which is frustrating.
Nobody would have blamed them.
But nobody would have blamed her of saying, gone over there and going, what are you doing? You think you're ever going to get your license because, you know, blah, blah, blah. And yet she chose, this is just a thing.
She was compassionate.
Yeah. That's cool.
I was really, really, my husband was overwhelmed too. He came to the scene and he had the same look that Omar had, which is like, I don't know what I'm walking into.
Right, right, yeah.
And immediately, he was so touched by their response.
This is one of those things that you're going to tell the story in 10 years.
Yeah.
How did you guys become best friends? Well, funny story. We destroyed her car.
It was this gorgeous color. And now it's a kind of rust.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. Okay, so you did leave us with a cliffhanger last week.
Which was a slight one. It's like, do you really know what praise is?
It's, you know, and in fact, this leads me to that song that we found for my, at the time, I think 1 or 2 year old. There's these little, you know, cartoons and praise songs on YouTube. I can't remember who makes it, but it says, praise? What's that? It's a yippee yahoo way to go, God. It's like, and it's like, I thought about it. I'm like, that probably is the best definition I could come up with.
A yippee yahoo way to go, God. Way to go, God.
It's like, yeah, I've never thought about the definition of praise.
It's like it's like taking his chin, like with your knuckles, and put it there.
Yeah,
way to go,
your grandpa winking at you.
I mean, I think it's interesting. So, if we are made in the image of God, I wonder if God is encouraged by the praise that we give Him. I mean, it's kind of a silly thing to wonder because he could probably take it or leave it, but he chose relationship with his kids.
Well, I remember
and when he desires our praise.
We were hearing that song, Bless the Lord, Oh My Soul, mm-hmm. the 10,000 Reasons. And I was sitting here talking to my wife at the time going, we don't bless God, but there are verses that say it that way.
Yeah.
And so what you're saying is like, yeah, who were we? And yet our lives are a living sacrifice and whatnot. So
it's one of those things that I have to hold loosely in terms of how I define it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is infinite, yes. He does not need anything from us. But
right.
he wants it.
Sure.
So what does that look like? I mean, I think we're ever discovering, aren't we? It's just like, well, I think he wants that encouragement from us too. Mm. Well, why not? Because where did it come from?
Him.
And we know in the New Testament that it's good for us to love one another, to encourage one another, to lift each other up. It's just...
Yeah.
So I did look up the word praise just now. It says...
Is it yippee-wee-wah-hoo?
It does not, weirdly, say that.
All right, just make sure.
But the noun is the expression of approval or admiration for someone or something. So an example sentence, the audience was full of praise for the whole production, which I know how much you love musicals, so I'm sure you've praised a lot of them.
Yeah,
I'm being very sarcastic.
I just love musicals. It could be very much efficient. We could get out of there in half the time if we just said what we were saying instead of singing.
You mean like Hamilton?
What do you mean?
They just say it. They rap it.
Well, they just still, say it. I know it would be a lot more efficient if they just said it. Instead of rap that we're saying.
Actually, it's a little faster with Hamilton. I'm just saying. I think I caught you there. Anyway, a verb.
I'm not a Hamilton fan. What do you mean?
Wow. And we just lost all of our subscribers.
Well, the Hamilton fans are gone.
I'm just kidding. Praise, express warm approval or admiration. We can't praise, weirdly, this is just Google, right? We can't praise Chris enough. And I thought they were going to go with Christ. I was all excited. We can't praise Christ enough. They took off the TV.
Oh, this was just an example.
This
okay,
just
all
an
right,
example.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is Psalm 100, and Psalm 100 is a chapter I've shared before. My parents were children's pastors, and they led this program at our church on Sunday nights that really encouraged memory of scriptures, and I'm really grateful that they did. There were always incentives and trophies and things like that, which honestly totally threw away. Don't care about the trophies anymore. Mm-hmm. As a kid, I thought it was really cool. Right. And some might even go, isn't that bribing kids? Isn't that a kind of slimy way to get people to talk about Jesus, to accept the Lord? My dad to this day still has those little kids who are now grown-up parents, some of them grandparents. When he's out and about with my mom and they're eating, people come up to him in a restaurant. Coach Tim, that's what they called him.
Coach, okay.
Coach Tim, I cannot tell you what you meant to my life. You and Coach Nancy is my mom. The songs that you came up, the memory, I still remember these things. They have blessed my life since then because I memorized it. It came back to my life when I needed it.
Yeah, yeah, that's great.
And so if you've ever needed evidence, there's some right there.
Yeah, I was hearing a young man's story. He's probably in his mid-20s, and he said, I'll never forget this, you know, elderly man in the church said, hey, you read your Bible lately? Let's read. He named a book, and he's like, I'll race you. I bet I can read it faster than you can. And it's like, and it's just, you know, 11-year-old kid at the time going, nuh-uh. And you know, and it's a terrible way to read the Bible if you think about it, but it got him reading the Bible.
And it got him opening it up and trying to find that. Where's that book?
Yeah, sure. Sure.
You know,
that's
and
right.
So these were little incentive programs in the church with a very real purpose. Yes, it was fun, but it also got them opening up the Psalms. And Psalm 100 was one that I memorized. It's relatively short. How many verses are there? There's only five.
Oh,
five
wow.
verses in the whole thing. But I've said it so many times that sometimes it's like anything else that you repeat too much. Wait, let me just slow down.
Mm.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. What is serving? It means to perform duties or services for another. And then you munch on it a little bit in your brain. Okay. We know what service looks like when we work. We know what service looks like when we're a parent, when we're with our spouse and we're doing something that maybe wasn't our first choice to do. But you see what I'm doing? I'm starting to break all those types of things down and really chew on, all right, when this was written, what does this really mean in connection with God?
Mm-hmm.
To serve the Lord with gladness, which is an experience of joy with pleasure. Okay, so now I'm supposed to be glad in doing the work.
Yeah. yeah.
for the Lord and come into his presence with singing. There have been days that you've started a prayer and you were not in a place of anything singing. And we work at a radio program with music, right? And so we're blessed to be able to play those songs that hopefully get people in that place
sure.
of coming into his presence with singing. Because even if you don't feel like it, you don't feel like praising, singing gets you there. Like I've actually, unless you're like singing the song all by myself, that makes you feel pretty sad.
It is a sad song.
Yeah. I did write that. Have you ever noticed when you turn on a good song, no matter what mood you're in, if you choose to sing along, it can't help but lift you. I mean, pick a really good song that you like. It's all of a sudden you're like, yes, there are ballads, and I mean, Desperado might not be on that list either, but
sure.
they put you in that place. So that's, I think that's, yes, it's honoring to the Lord, but he also gets us because he created us, and he knows that he wants us in a place of service. He wants us to focus in on him and what is true and right and good for us. But he also knows that we get in down places and we feel grouchy and moody. And he's like, okay, come into my presence with singing. Yes, I deserve it. But also I know it's going to get you to that place of praise. Mm. It's going to get you to a better place. And know that the Lord, he is God. It's he who has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So this to me is telling me my place. We are not to forget who is in charge. And we're his, but if we are his sheep in his pasture and he's the good shepherd, there is a loving connection there too. There's a comfortability.
Sure.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving. So we've already come into his presence with singing, and now we're thinking about Thanksgiving. And when you think about Thanksgiving, I go directly to dressing. And
I will bring all of that.
Mashed
Absolutely.
Potatoes and
yes.
all yeah. that good stuff. But Thanksgiving, a lot like praise, an expression of gratitude to God, devotion, sacrifice. If it costs us, I don't want to ever take that away. The sacrifice that Jesus, it cost him. It's the sacrifice of praise. When we would sing it as a child in church, we bring the sacrifice of praise. It sounds so upbeat. Sacrifice is a word that, depending on the context, could be really kind of a scary thing. Mm-hmm. What are you asking me to give up? But if it's a joyous thing and knowing that if I give it over to him, whatever God asks me to release over to him, first of all, I can trust him with it. My place is to give it over to him. But to now do it with thanksgiving, how can I do that? Well, the praises help me get there, right? So, and an offering is also in that descriptor. Praise and offering. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Why? The Lord is good. He defines it. We hear things good all the time. Ooh, that's good. How do we know something's good? Only because God defines it.
Sure.
Yeah. He is good. How do we know what love is? Only because God defines what real love is. We may have glimpses of it, I think, in our human contact, in our relationships. But if our relationships with people are out of the context and understanding of what God intended love to be like, then it's not a full expression of love. Mm-hmm. It's not a full and complete expression of goodness. So when you see people who may not be aligned with Christianity and may not be aligned with what God has, does that mean that they're independent from doing anything good? No. They can do things that are good, but it's not going to give you the full spectrum of what is totally good.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that you will even be allowed to sit in the midst of storms or be asked to sacrifice and still be able to call it good because it's something that God has brought along to your life to touch your life. You wouldn't necessarily be able to go, oh, hey, this is good.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
Jesus said only God is good. Why do you call me good? And it, kind of that posing that question to get that guy to think. But we can easily say and mean, you know, I love this, or, you know, so-and-so's a good guy.
Yeah.
And it'd be a totally fine sentence. I know there's those super Christians who are like, good. He's not a good guy. I'm not a good guy. Nobody's a good guy. It's like, no. I mean, in the general sense,
yeah.
right? You know, good, or you love something or you love someone. But you're right. It's not the full expression, because only truly good, what is truly 100% good
yeah.
is God.
What was really incredible and just made me think about it was Tammy, whose car we hit. Mm-hmm. She texted me later asking about my son. And then she said, you know, they say that everything happens for a reason. And she was, in her way, I think, trying to kind of put her finger on that maybe this was used for good.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And I kind of came back with that. I said, you know, it says that all things, God says all things work together for good for those who love him. You know, we're called according to his purpose in Christ Jesus. I didn't add all of that in there because I don't know her faith situation. I didn't want to like overwhelm her with what does that mean. But essentially that first part and the latter part there, I think you get all of it. All things, no matter what, Rochelle, you can trust me with, I'm going to somehow weave this together for good because you're under the umbrella of my care.
Yeah.
And because you're under that umbrella, you can accept that even a car accident could be good. And here's my friend Tammy, who, again, I don't know her relationship with the Lord, but let's say she doesn't know God. She's connecting through maybe the Jesus right here in that she's experiencing in me, mm-hmm. not having anything to do with me. She's connecting to something happened here today, unexpected. And it seemed good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But his steadfast love, and steadfast is this... it's something we can count on. It's something consistent. We can have confidence in his love for us and his faithfulness to all generations, that it's available to all of us. What a gift when every generation has had its shaking its fist in the air at God moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard something callously said the other day on one of my favorite shows and talking about, yeah, I'm not like God saying, I'm going to make that guy pay because he said something. And I'm like, I know it's just silliness. And it was a comedy show. And it saddened me at the same time because I thought, wait a second. I wonder if the person who wrote that line in the script really believes that's God. And I think a lot of people do.
Yeah.
When he is teaching us what the things that we truly want to invest in and know the most are the very things that he defines by just being himself.
Mm-hmm.
And we got it all backwards because, well, we put definitions on him that were never meant to be.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, vengeful in a not just way, just out of spite, you know?
Right. Yeah. And it's important to understand the context of the Old Testament where it seems that way. And then there's also just really the most common one now is, well, if God's so loving, why does all this bad stuff happen?
Sure.
And I don't know. But at the same time, I've found a lot of peace in the answer of God is good and God is who God is. And he didn't create evil. Anything that is not truly good, that's an offshoot of God's will and being and presence, just is. It's like instead of, you know, it's like if you have a glass 3/4 full of water, 3/4 of that is, let's just say, God's goodness, and the emptiness is what's wrong, right? Mm-hmm. And so we look at evil as this tangible thing, and it's really just the absence of God,
mm-hmm.
That when people have the free will to choose these evil actions, or the fact that from the beginning, Adam and Eve chose that.
Yeah.
So now the world, even the natural world, is under this curse. We went into that in great detail in a few episodes ago. You know, why do like storms happen and hurricanes and tornadoes? And it just is what it is right now. And that's not an easy answer. But it is important to know that God is truly good and we can always rely on him.
And also if you go into a conversation with someone, and we have to be patient with people who are, especially when they're dealing with a bunch of stuff.
Sure.
When evil's knocking down their door or it feels like that and they put the name of God on it instead.
Yeah.
Well, why would he let this happen? It's not that he hasn't allowed it, but again, the presence of evil is the absence of God, right? And what you were sharing there, the absence of God is... it's just what it is because of sin in the world.
Right. Yeah.
I'm pointing at this glass that doesn't exist now.
I know, but I've kind of did the same thing. Yeah. Yeah. And that may not even be the best analogy, but it is because God didn't want robots.
Yeah.
He gave humans free will.
Yes.
And then obviously what happened. And so it was, and yeah. And then you ask, well, why couldn't he have just done this or that? I mean, yeah, I get it. I've heard all the questions and I don't know the full answer. And to your point, when you say, when somebody's dealing, I love how my pastor put it. I'm sorry, period. That's a full sentence. You don't have to try to explain anything when you're with somebody that's hurting or broken about something tragic.
Yeah.
I'm sorry this happened, or I don't know all the answers. Full stop. That's okay.
A really good full stop sentence and just being with the person.
Yeah.
Because maybe time will share with them how God was in the midst of that with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
and knowing what pain feels like, he is not oblivious to our pain.
Yeah.
And he loves us so much. But it's hard to share that with someone who has felt like just every turn has been daggers, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I understand the thought of why people would say, oh, he's just a vengeful God and he's just waiting to smite us. And no, he's waiting so that none will perish.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was going to say something else and now I forgot. And so, it's the saying, if you were talking about robots, the saying that if you love something, then you let it go. And then it'll come back if it loves you back, kind of a thing.
Sure.
That's not the exact quote paraphrasing, but where do you think that came from?
That's interesting. That's an interesting way to think about
that. But that's just, that's it. He loves us so much that he decided, I want this being that I've just created with such perfection, every fiber woven just so that every atom, that every white blood cell, all of this stuff, and I'm going to let them choose. And he knew what they would choose.
And then he still made a way. Just to tack on this, and then my question is actually something still serious, just not as tragic, but my pastor has gone through medical stuff, and he was just so encouraged that God will put people in your life at the right time or things in your life at the right time. And just reminders of, people praying for you. And, I actually had it happen this morning. I just saw something that I'm like, that's exactly what I've been struggling with. And I really, and just these reminders that we get are another reason to appreciate God's goodness and to that he's with us in the midst of the hardship.
Mm-hmm.
It was something you said about releasing it over in the sacrifice of praise. It really reminds me of what are certain things that we need to release? And I don't mean, this still applies, but like there are finances, there are, unhealthy levels with good things. Like maybe you're watching too much football or you're eating too much food or whatever. Those are good things.
All the guys listening going.
Yeah. Yeah. What?
Oh.
Please don't talk about this. Yeah. I'm not. Oh. Hey, this is good news. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go with things that, with personal convictions. Because at youth group, the students that I help with, it's junior and senior guys in high school. And one said, how do I know if I should stop listening to this certain music? And he named a mainstream artist.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of the artist and never really heard any of their music. And I'm kind of glad I didn't. I haven't heard it because I don't know how bad it is.
Yeah.
But I wanted to just tell him the honest answer. This is in that gray area that I am learning more and more to be comfortable with. Because I remember the age-old question when you were a student trying to honor God in youth group, and somebody would ask the question to the youth minister, well, how far is too far? Can we make out? Can me and my girlfriend make out? And you're like, and the youth pastor would always have this more of an elegant answer than certainly that question is. And it's like, well, what's your heart? And it's like students and a lot of us that just want black and white don't want that answer because it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
They want, tell me what's wrong and can I get all the way up to the line?
Mm-hmm.
And many youth pastors, I don't remember one actually answering that question. Mm. Well, here's what's right and here's what's wrong. It was always, what's your heart? Where does your mind go? Is it lustful? Is it, because they're not, I think they're sitting here going, holding hands might be too much for you or a peck on the cheek might be too much for you. I don't know. And so a kid asked this question last night about music, and we've had some of these conversations on there are gray areas of life where there are certain things wrong for some Christians and not for others.
Yeah.
And that's biblical. That's in Romans 14. In fact, I think God got questions. If you're ever curious, if you ever got questions, you can just go to gotquestions.org. And these are all spiritual Bible questions. And they just said this pretty well in a personal conviction article. There are some issues on which different believers may have different convictions. Not all issues are black and white. Not all issues can be traced back to a biblical guideline, because obviously some are, and some are black and white, just this is right, this is wrong. But in such cases, we must let the law of love rule. Paul tells us not to quarrel over disputable matters. That's Romans 14:1, such as the eating of certain foods or holding one day more sacred than the other. We should have personal convictions, Each should be fully convinced in their own mind, that's verse 5, but should also leave room for the convictions of others. And it goes on, it has some good stuff, but there are certain people that just inherently think anything and everything Halloween is wrong. Mm-hmm. There are certain people that go, I can have wear costumes and have candy. There are certain people that think certain movies are wrong or certain TV shows are wrong, and others go, I don't really struggle with that. And that's what I tried to convey mm-hmm. to this young man that was asking, should I just stop listening to their music? Mm-hmm. And where does it take you? I mean, first of all, pray about it.
Yeah.
What is God telling you about it? And if you don't feel a conviction on it, don't let me put this guilt on you that's not there. Because I really don't know the music. And potentially if I heard it, I'd want to go, don't listen to that. And maybe it's wisdom too in certain situations, but I also don't want to say God is telling you no when there's not a full biblical mandate.
Right. No, that's great.
But it's a hard gray area. That's why I wanted to bring it up again. It just led me into that. There's gray areas that are hard.
Yes. And especially when you're dealing with your own kids. Uh-huh. I feel like I'm really good at maybe if somebody came to me and asked advice, like spot on advice, what you just shared. Yes, that's what I would share. If my son came over to me and he said, I want to watch every episode of The Family Guy back to back. I'd be like, you're not even watching anything.
Right. Yes.
Give me your phone, take out a hammer and just hit the phone. Because they're, and I don't know how other people feel about The Family Guy, and that it's one of those things I think that some people feel a release about. They're like, you know what? I don't dig into all the humor of that. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, I let that be, but some of it's super funny. Yeah, I get how it's funny. What concerns me as a parent sometimes with this stuff is like, it's available all the time.
Sure.
Because of the day and age that we live in.
Right.
So there's that concern. I understand a small diet, a little dose of something that with discretion, with the Lord next to my child, you know what? This is where I take it. But it's a very real concern that parents have nowadays. It's like, I have no idea. The stuff that they're hearing at school, the stuff that they're listening to in the songs, half of it goes past me, just like the music from my generation, like with Twisted Sister and We're Not Gonna Take It.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's so tame now, right?
Well, it feels tame, but at the same time, I understood why parents were upset about it in the Christian community because, you know, they made the parent look like an idiot.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so, nowadays, it's like, oh my gosh, do you remember that silly video and how upset everybody got? And look at what's happening today. Well, our kids are going to go through that with their children. There's going to be another thing. Like, do you remember when everybody was terrified when, you know?
Right. Well, and you bring up an interesting point because I'm coming at this as just some dude
on the outside
in this kid's life on the outside.
But you've been there as a teenager, and so you're able to kind of speak into it.
But it's not my place to tell him when, you know, I'm going to, and I sit here, I told them, I said, let me be very clear about this. You don't just get to go home and go, oh, well, it's right for me. I guess I'll watch pornography. No, like, you can't do that with everything. That's just absolutely wrong.
Right.
But it's not my place to put convictions on them or certainly other believers, regardless of age. But you bring up the parenting aspect. Yeah. I think that's interesting because I think we have the right as parents to be able to tell our kids while they're living in our home, under our roof, you know, and all that.
I don't care for that. I don't want to see that.
But here's my boundary, and it just is what it is.
It's really difficult. And I'm sure my brother and my parents won't mind. There was a band back in the 80s named Stryper.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Christian folk loved Stryper. A lot of Christian folk thought they were of the devil.
Right, right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And my parents, they came from a background of gospel music. They came from a background of quartets singing on stage. And Bill Gaither was a little bit out there.
Oh.
Yes. So you went from singing in the church with the organ.
Right, yeah.
And then you go to, now we're going to sing with the Gaithers. And it was like, I don't know. We're going into territory. This feels a little too...
And then Stryper came along.
And then Stryper comes along. So my parents are looking at this band and they're like, can't see a difference between this hair band and that hair band, right? And there's this marvelous documentary that recently came out. It was a few years ago about Christian music and kind of going through the years from, I think it was the late 60s through on with the Jesus Generation and Jesus Revolution, I'm sorry, and seeing how Christian music morphed. And the response from people in the church was less than inviting. Understandably so, because if you were raised in a rigid type background, And it was so conservative that everything potentially can be just, this is evil.
Yeah.
I understand the concern, but then my parents grew into this place of, after they told him you are not allowed to listen to this, he ended up doing it anyway.
Oh my.
Yeah. He,
a Christian rebel.
He listened to them anyway, and he started showing my dad some of the lyrics to the songs.
Yeah.
And my dad, instead of doing what he could have easily done, which was like, I told you this. And there's always a place for it. If you lay down the line and your kid disobeys, then yeah, you there are repercussions. But for whatever reason, and maybe it was Holy Spirit driven, dad didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He listened. Instead of talking,
yeah,
he listened. And he started seeing his son reading these lyrics and taking it to a place where he said, I saw my child learning about faith in a way that I never thought he would learn about faith. It was this different way. And so, wait a second, maybe I should be less opposed to something that maybe God is at work here.
Sure. Yeah.
And you even hear, I mean, you think about it, Gamaliel, I think is right. The teacher of Paul in the book of Acts.
Okay.
When all of the, you know, the council is sitting there and they're blasting these new apostles and what they're doing. And he said, wait a second, we've seen messiahs come and go, but if this guy is for real, let's just see how it goes.
Sure.
You know, let's just see how it goes. And I think that's kind of the stance that my father took. And rightly, I was so glad that he did that. To this day, my brother will go to Stryper concerts whenever they like do their band revival. And
yeah.
It's amazing because, you know, they truly love the Lord.
Yeah.
And we're very dismayed when it was, I think, found out that Jimmy Swaggart was the guy that Michael Sweet, who was the lead band singer. That's how he came to know the Lord, was like a Jimmy Swaggart episode on TV, a sermon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Jimmy Swaggart who actually came out against
leading Stryper, the charge against
and it hurt his heart so bad. He's like, I don't understand, you know, it crushed him. But
I get why it's hard, you know, because we can look back and go, come on, Stryper's awesome and they're Christian and, you know, but, you know, like today,
yeah,
when my son gets into something and let's say 10 years time, he's three, but in 10 years time, he's into something. And then I'm going to have, because of all these, you know, with deconstruction and people leaving faith and progressive Christianity and people, things that are wrapped up in nice things to some degree.
Yes.
But then it's like, oh man, I clicked on their about and their theology is insane. It's wrong. You know, it's out there. It's strange. It's wrong. It's not biblical. And so that's like my fear of that. I think up front, you always get the, you know, the gift of hindsight looking back. But it's still important to have at least an attitude of go, let's see what it is.
Together.
Right. And
yeah,
there are things that, and on both sides, there are shows that I've watched that I think a lot of Christians would go, wow, I can't believe you watched that. Let me give two examples here. Breaking Bad is one that I loved as a show because I saw the point. I saw the progression of pride and how it can be somebody's downfall. And then one that I'm kind of on the other side. I'm going, I don't know how people watch this, how believers watch this, is Game of Thrones.
Mm.
I don't know how believers watch. But at the same time, somebody that has a great heart could skip the parts they need to skip or look away or whatever and enjoy this. Clearly, it's a masterpiece of a show.
Yeah.
And I have to keep that in mind that it's not my place to put convictions from God on anybody else, as well as take that from somebody when it's not placed on me.
Yeah.
And I have to follow God in that. And that's hard depending on who is in your surroundings.
But I think planning what you did in that young man's mind will hopefully set up that question forever when it comes to music, when it comes to a television show, as opposed to everybody's watching it, so I'm going to watch it too.
Right, true. That's not the rule of thumb. It shouldn't be.
Does this honor God in my life?
Yeah.
When I'm watching this, do I get a weird feeling?
Yeah.
Like if you get that weirdo feeling, I've had that a few times, and I'm like, I'll just watch a little more, and then it's like, nope, turn it off.
Sure.
That's definitely happened to me, and I think always having that thought of, well, so Lord, you could even be with me sitting in a rated R movie theater.
Mm.
I could sit here with you and we could see what's actually edifying in this. So if your kid comes to you and says, I'm really interested in watching this show or this movie, granted the age range.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But just to say, okay, I've seen this before you did. I think it's so important. I mean, there's a lot of times where, I mean, we're tired. It's at least it's PG-13. We know it's probably going to have some of these words in it. Let's just watch it anyway. If there's any way I could try to watch it first.
Sure.
Or if I have watched it before and yeah. I can go, we're going to skip over this part.
Yeah. But I think you're, I think there's a difference in telling just people what they should do compared to how you parent.
Yeah.
I think that's a good distinction of my boundary is my boundary in my home.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. And I want to be loving. And obviously the Striper thing is a great encouragement, but at the same time, you'll get to choose that for yourself when you're out of this home or whatever.
Yes. And if I could say that my dad definitely had ground rules that never.
Sure.
If those get crossed. Yeah. So that was not a, he didn't set himself up with this new pattern that, okay, you can get away with whatever you want.
Right. They're still, it's not going to happen with this movie or this show or whatever. You say it's going to help this kid. I got to go back to this kid because I think I just came on too strong, came over his head, you know.
Maybe.
And he was like, no, what? And I was like, do you know what conviction is? And he's like, I don't know what you mean by that. I'm like, okay, all right, let me start over. Because it's such a hard, hold on, let me really reflect and be okay being a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And going, I just wish the Bible just said it. Well, it doesn't say what books or movies or shows you can watch because there weren't any. We got to pray about it. Let God in our lives, let Him move in it.
Definitely theater back in the day.
Sure. There was some theater.
There was a lot of Greek theater. Yeah. A lot of it had to do, frankly, with sex.
Mm-hmm.
And as a theater student, I found that out very quickly. A lot of Greek theater. I would recommend none of it.
Okay.
Right?
Recommendations are always good.
I shouldn't say that, but clearly that there was some definite things that you could draw from and just learning about people and where they're at and their thought patterns, or like, let's take Oedipus Rex, for instance, and let's discover like what's the pathos, any of that psychologically is very interesting. But so we talk about pornography, we talk about these types of things were always available, whether or not it was cinematically put on a screen anywhere, but you know, I would imagine that good Jewish girls and good Jewish boys would stay far away from the Gentiles, and we're not going to do any of that.
Sure.
Now, there may have been some that peaked anyway when nobody was watching. I don't know.
No, absolutely.
But at the same time, you know, when you brought up that question today, I wasn't even expecting to go the parenthood route. And it made me think about those times where I just tell Caleb, my youngest, this just happened a couple days ago, you are not to do that under no circumstances. We have it on our phones as to if he wants more time than we've allotted him, he could put in a request.
Oh, okay.
And I told him,
yeah,
if you can't stop with the quotes from this particular show, and I know he's YouTubing little clips of this show.
Okay. All right.
Then you're not going to get any more request time. Yeah. You're just not. And now I'm looking back and thinking, but maybe he's interested in this because it's not driven by anything sinful. Mm-hmm. It's he's finding it funny, and maybe I need to be
Let's sit
and watch an episode together and let's talk about what's funny.
Recognize
it's funny, and then what is not okay about
it? It's the biggest example, the biggest exception of showing an R-rated movie to a kid for the overall story is The Passion of the Christ.
Yeah.
Now, you're not going to show him Gladiator.
Right.
Right. But there, a lot of the same, you know, the violence and the gore and the blood is there. And you're not just going to show that for any reason. But because the message is so important. So I get on a smaller scale. There might be shows or movies. It's like, man, the message in this is so good. We can either skip that one part. Maybe like Titanic, for example, right? Some of that's just made up. But some of it's history. And you can skip the one scene that everybody knows to skip. And then you show your kids Titanic for the most part. I mean, so I think there are things like that. But ultimately, you're right. I think you're doing a great job with parenting, and that you are the mantle holder in that, you and your husband, right? But it's different than me or you telling each other, you should not watch that, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, it's hard. Life's hard. Life's hard.
It is, and it's only going to get more difficult because it's getting harder to shield their innocence.
And there's a lot less quality shows.
There's a lot less quality shows. And to be honest, part of me wonders, should we shield their innocence? I want my children to remain pure,
mm-hmm.
but purity and innocence are different.
Mm.
we will be stripped, unfortunately, of our innocence probably sooner rather than later in today's culture, because they are exposed to a lot more than what I was exposed to as a child going into a public school situation. And I felt like I was exposed to a lot of stuff.
Sure.
And my parents did their best to try to prepare me for when I grew up in the AIDS era. This is why we need to be careful not to, you know, pick up, oh, this piece of candy or whatever, you know.
Right.
This is why we're careful. My kids are experiencing something different. Their kids will experience something different. And so I know Mama Bear instinct, Papa Bear instinct is probably to shield our children so that they can maintain their innocence. And I understand that up into a certain degree. But then it's like, if we maintain this ideal, like they're always going to stay there, then when they really need to come and talk to us, they're not going to feel like they can really come and talk to us because we've got this crazy expectation that they don't even know what sex is or they don't even know what drugs look like or any of that.
Sure, sure.
And so we have to prepare them and be prepared to talk about it too.
Yeah, no, that is good. Well, thank you, by the way. If you're listening and you want to watch, you want to see this horrendous shirt, you can text the word quiet to the number 893-893. But I will say, based on this conversation, every youth minister's policy is, you'd ask them, do you watch Family Guy? No, I don't. But I still think the things that you tell me are really funny.